Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask that you hold your calls for a few minutes because we have with us Dr. Jeff Preistupa. He's a chiropractor who lives over in Colorado. In fact, we were there yesterday at a 4th of July picnic he attended along with about 300 other people. An exciting time was had by all. But today we want to talk a little bit about vaccines. And of course, I'm very concerned because the wise, intelligent, superhuman individuals who know all, and of course they know what's best for us common folks, want to be able to forcibly vaccinate us in case of a national health care emergency, or if the governor declares a public health emergency, they want to be able to forcibly vaccinate you. It will become a crime if you refuse to be vaccinated. Now, I believe that there is a place for certain vaccines. But I believe that we should have a choice and we should be informed. You know, with everything else, you have a right to be informed. We have a situation where a doctor has to give you informed consent if he's going to operate on you, and he has to give you all the sorts of details and pluses and minuses of every different type of treatment, except for vaccinations. They're not required to do that. And ordinarily, if somebody gives you a healthcare product that is harmful to your health, you know, and that is known to be harmful to your health, and of course it harms you, you can ordinarily bring a suit against the manufacturer, unless it's a vaccine manufacturer, and then of course they have a special dispensation, so they can't be sued. And if there's nothing to be concerned about, why did they demand that that be put into the law before they would produce their vaccines? In other words, if it's not harmful. And then of course there's this thing about mercury in the vaccines. They put mercury in the vaccines for many, many years until somebody pointed out that it's harmful to the brains of children. There's no legal amount, no amount of mercury that is safe to give to children, and they've been giving it to children for dozens of years, vaccines that contain mercury. So now they've taken it out, and they say, see, you can trust us, we took the mercury out. And I would just simply ask, if it was not harmful, why did they take it out? And if it was harmful, why did they give it to the children for so many years? Can we really trust them? Dr. Preistupa, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, it's my pleasure.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you have written a book on vaccines, and I don't know your feeling. I feel that, do you feel that some vaccines are beneficial, but that people should certainly know the pluses and minuses? Do you oppose all vaccination?
Well, as you say, Dr. Monteith, I think it's important that we have the right to choose. No matter what medical procedure it's going to be, whether, you know, I think that if you're going to mandate things, that you certainly ought to offer the public, the consumer, the absolute safeguards that what they're about to take into their bodies is, one, known, that it's been defined, that there are certain standards that it has to meet and be approved of, that there's adequate research behind it, what the risks are. And I agree with you that it's only based upon that information that a person can make an informed decision.
But of course, they want to mandate that every child going into school will have all these vaccines. They're giving all these vaccines to children, some of them in the nursery. And of course, they're challenging these children's immature immune systems. So that by the time they're 2 or 3 years of age, they've had 20 or 30 different vaccinations. Now, three or four may have been in one shot, but I'm concerned, and I want you to tell my listeners why you're concerned and why you've written a book about it.
Well, Dr. Monteith, I became mostly concerned when, as a much younger man, I began my health career at Sloan Kettering in New York City, working in the Laboratory of Human Genetics, is a birth defects and cancer lab. And we had a family near that had a young boy, probably 6 years old, and this young boy had leukemia. And we were standing around doing intake on this family, and I was the person who would take the skin samples from their arm, draw a little blood, and I would grow their cells. I was the research technician in charge of tissue culture. And while we're sitting around this lab in kind of an informal setting where it's just, you know, kind of one kind of feeling each other out, trying to get the family to feel, you know, reassured, I asked the question, what is this child's vaccination history? Now, I would think that when a child has leukemia, which, as you know, is a blood cancer, that would be a rather fair question. The looks of the other doctors as they stared at me like I had just committed the ultimate scientific faux pas, that question is never asked. And Dr. Stan, that question haunted me. That bothered me from that day to this day. Why don't we ask these questions? Why, in other words, why aren't we as concerned after the kids are vaccinated as we are that they get vaccinated? By that I mean, why is it that when a child gets sick and goes to the doctor or is admitted to the hospital, why is it that no one asks about the child's recent vaccination history? And I wondered if there was another reason why those questions are omitted.
Well, I will tell you that Guillain-Barré, which is this bizarre polio-like syndrome of paralysis, many times has come on after vaccinations, after flu vaccinations. You know, in fact, we know when they gave the swine flu vaccine some years ago, oh, everybody has to get this. The swine flu is going to kill everybody, and if we don't have this, it's going to be a terrible catastrophe. Well, there wasn't any swine flu epidemic, but an awful lot of people got Guillain-Barré or died of the swine flu vaccine. But they don't like to talk about that, do they?
They don't. Dr. Stan, I wonder if you and I might deviate from a normal talk about vaccines for a moment, because one of the things I hear from my patients, perhaps you have also, is that they really don't understand the vaccination process itself, that most often, many times, you and I to talk about this back and forth, the average person doesn't understand what vaccinations are for, how they work, and then what is the basis for yours and my concerns.
All right, you go ahead and
talk about that for just
sure
a moment.
Sure, you can. But unfortunately, we're just about ready to go into a break.
Okay.
As soon as we get back, I'll let you go ahead and do that. But right now, of course, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Jeff Price-Stuka, and he's from Colorado. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is the time when we just want to mention to our listeners that we carry a number of products here, which, of course, help to finance what we do. One of them, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and we don't make any grand claims for them other than the fact that they're excellent soap. We've, enjoyed using them. But, some of our people who've used them seem to think that it helps their rashes. I know my wife has used this to spray some of the vegetables we have on our vegetable garden. It's great for white flies, at least she tells me that, and it seems to control ants on the counter pretty well. They don't like it to come in after they've area's been actually washed with the Miracle 2 products. I don't know why that is. I will tell you, many people that have had rashes seem to think it's helped. I know many people who have used the neutralizer seem to think that it helps their heartburn. I know my wife uses that, and we're very happy with the Miracle 2 soap products. If you'd like to know more about them, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a pamphlet, what the producer claims it's good for. We'd make no claim that it's oxygenated or that it has any health benefits, but I will tell you that many people have been very healthy with it. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN and just ask for information on the Miracle 2 soap products. And then I do want to mention, of course, that if you change your long-distance carrier to Promise Vision, why, it will certainly help us, because 15% of whatever your long-distance bill is will come back to us. The prices are competitive. And not only that, but you get a real-life person when you call in at 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. That's Promise Vision. It's a Christian long-distance carrier. I've known Bill Horn, who works there, for many, many years, and I recommend them. That's Promise Vision. Why don't you call right now? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARN. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course that video we were talking about really is called cover-up in Oklahoma City. But right now, Dr. Price-Stubbs wants to talk about what vaccines are, how they work, and why some people are concerned about them, and why you should really be concerned as well. In fact, let me recommend that if you do not subscribe to the newsletter, shame on you, but if you do not subscribe, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of my latest newsletter, which goes into a secret about vaccination that the public health officers across America have kept a secret from the American people for 40 years, because they're afraid if you ever learn this secret, you will never trust them again. Well, this would not be quite as important, except that now they want to be able to forcibly vaccinate you and every member of your family. If you'd like a free copy of this newsletter, and I promise you, and if you read this newsletter, you will never, never, never again look at the world through the same eyes again. In fact, my secretary just read it. My wife just read it and getting it ready to be put out. It's the June newsletter. And they were both totally devastated by what they've read. And it's all true. You can verify everything there, because we give you the sources of documentation. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Jeff, why don't you go ahead and just go into the background of vaccinations and why some people are concerned about them.
Well, Dr. Stan, perhaps if you and I just dialogue back and forth, and I know that you and I were taught the very same things regarding this in school, so if we just kind of go back over the standard answers, I think people can understand a little bit more about this process. Like if I were to ask you, what's the purpose of a vaccine? The standard response is that, go ahead.
It gives an immunity so you won't get the disease.
It gives an immunity, and what it does is it allows the body, by being subjected to an antigen ahead of time, it trains the white blood cells, it trains the immune system how to make the antibody against it. So should you come in contact against that antigen out there in the world, your immune system's already had a little bit of a preview of that, and you can mount an immune response faster.
And of course, really, it's an amazing thing that the smallpox is no longer a major threat, that polio has been pretty well controlled here in this country. These are indeed amazing, amazing accomplishments, and because of that, people say, why is anybody concerned about vaccination? Look at the wonderful things they've done. They've saved millions of lives. And that, of course, is certainly a half-truth. Why don't you go ahead?
And so, we might want to ask, what is an antigen? What is it that the body will respond to in mounting an immune response? And we would say, well, that would be something that the body perceives as being foreign to that body. It could be a foreign protein. It could be a virus. It could be a bacteria. It could be anything that your immune system recognizes as not Dr. Stan or not Dr. Jeff. And then it mounts an immune response. Well, I think that leads us to a pretty fair question, that is, are there other things in a vaccine besides the targeted, whether it's the pertussis or the diphtheria or the chickenpox or the measles, whatever that vaccine is, are there other things that come along with that vaccine that also act as antigens besides just the thing it's grown on? And we say, you know, we don't really know. If we say, well, the virus is grown on chicken embryo cells or monkey kidney cells or even aborted human cells, will the body also respond to those things that are in the vaccine as well as the intended thing that the host cell grew?
And, of course, what they don't tell you is that, of course, the polio vaccine was grown on the cells from kidney monkey cultures. In other words, the kidneys of monkeys were taken, and they were used. And they contained, those vaccines contained all the monkey viruses. Well, they say, but, of course, we're not susceptible to monkey viruses. But how do you know that? Did they do the studies ahead of time to determine? No, they found the vaccine. They tried it in a few people for 2 years, and then they gave it to the entire population without ever bothering to find out that there were at least 40 different monkey viruses in there, and one of them was a cancer virus that is today still used to produce cancer in animals, and various types of cancers in all sorts of animals. And, of course, they know that it produces cancers in human beings, but they don't dare tell the American people that, because if they did, why, the American people would never trust them again. And that is one of the incredible stories, and yet they continue growing these viruses in animal cultures and saying, just trust us, we don't think there's anything wrong. In fact, this recent study that came out on hepatitis B, which is not grown in animals, it is a gene that they feel will produce immunity to hepatitis B. And the latest study said, the headline said, there's no relationship between hepatitis B vaccine and the marked increase in multiple sclerosis. And then when you read the study, it says, well, there probably is no relationship, but it should be still studied. What do you mean? There's probably no relationship. You mean you're not certain whether there's a relationship or not, and you're requiring every child in America to have hepatitis B, and you still want to keep watching over this and make sure there's no problem? Why don't you make sure that it's absolutely safe before you give it to the people and do a massive experiment on 100 million children? And if you read the article that just came out within the last 3 weeks in the New York Times, they want a copy of it. They say there's probably no problem, but we're going to keep an eye on it. What sort of science is that when you're forcibly giving it to children across America? Have you picked up on that, Jeff? I just can't believe this.
Yes, Dr. Sand, that's exactly my point. And if you are going to give a vaccine that has, as you said, 40 other viruses along with it, you're going to require that immune system to respond to those 40 other viruses as well as the intended polio virus. And now you're talking again about the hepatitis B vaccine, which I know you've had Barbara Lowe Fisher on your show before. That is not even a at-risk population of those children that are being targeted for that vaccine.
But, of course, it's very, very profitable. They can actually give this to the people in China for $3. They can give them 3 shots. Here in America, it costs you $85 for 1 shot. Is there something strange about that when they're requiring all healthcare workers to have the vaccine at $85 for each one of 3 shots, and they can give it in China for $3 for 3 shots? Is there something wrong? Maybe are we using the American people to finance the immunization of the people in China?
Dr. Stan, are you intimating perhaps that this vaccine, the entire vaccine industry, is more motivated for, shall we say, financial reasons than health reasons?
Absolutely. In fact, the reason that there are 700 million people in China, and I shouldn't even laugh at this, 700 million people in China who are hepatitis B positive, is because of vaccination programs over there where they use the same needle over and over again, and they contaminated them with that. There are 200 million cases of hepatitis C throughout the world, most of them from the use of dirty needles given in vaccinations. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, Dr. Stan, one of the factors that I think that is I don't hear this ever raised, is that I believe that there's a certain amount of immune capacity that the human is blessed with upon birth. But one of the questions we have to ask is, are we continually decreasing our ability to respond to these diseases by lowering and lowering our immune capacity, by making the immune system cry wolf repeatedly and repeatedly? Are we destroying our immune abilities through the use of vaccines?
And I think that's a very, very good question. And then what about all the increase in immune diseases that are developing that we never saw before? I mean, doubling the incidence of autoimmune disease and of allergic disease and of asthma and juvenile diabetes, and increasing the incidence of autism by six times, 600% since the advent of the MMWR. And how many parents, and I've heard this story over and over again, say, my child was perfectly normal until the day after they got the vaccine.
And Dr. Stan, your point is so well taken, because what we're seeing happening to immune types of disorders is we're seeing it move into a bipolar distribution. On one side, we have a whole set of diseases which are hyper-immune diseases, and on the other side, we're seeing a whole new range of diseases which are hypo-immune diseases. We're either making it hypersensitive or hyposensitive, and what we're destroying in the middle, we've lost our ability to react normally to the things in our environment.
Absolutely. In fact, I talked to Ken Alabek, who was the number two man in the Soviet bioprepared system. He told me he took 66 different vaccinations. He said, I'm allergic to everything. You cannot vaccinate people against everything, or you destroy their whole immune system.
Yes. So we come back to this, and we're talking, trying to help the listeners understand why there are risks associated with the vaccine program. Should we perhaps test people ahead of time to determine what immunities they already have, and perhaps whether they're hypersensitive to vaccines in the first place? Maybe there are a certain part of our population that we could identify beforehand that we might want to give a varying dosage to. But here we go, regardless of size, maturity, or genetic constitution, we go ahead and give all these children the very same dosage, irregardless of any other factors.
All right, we're going to have to take another break here, and when we get back from this break, we'll welcome your calls at 1-800 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we want to mention that we carry something, which I think that if you have children that go to a government school, you really want to get, because, of course, they're not teaching them how to read phonetically. Phonopoly was a game that was designed by Myrna Culbreth, who actually created the phonics game, and now she's created Phonopoly, which is a board game played like Monopoly. It's loads of fun. I've played it, and of course, you can actually teach a child and begin to reprogram their mind so that they can read and think phonetically in 16 to 20 hours. You just have to play the games with them. But in the process of having a good time, they will actually learn the 40 sounds in the English language, the 12 rules that go with that, and they're going to have an opportunity to be able to read and read normally and spell normally, and their brain will develop normally. And believe me, it's not doing that now. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and certainly ask for Phonopoly. And then, of course, we have other items which we feel very strongly that are very important. And one of them, of course, is the Robinson homeschool curriculum. It's a program by which you can homeschool your children from first grade up to graduation. It contains all the textbooks. It contains all tests. And, of course, according to Dr. Robinson, he only spent about 15 minutes a day per child correcting the essay they actually are asked to write every day. The only thing you have to buy separate is the Saxon mathematics books. The whole program is $199.95, not per year, but the whole program. It's on 22 CDs, contains a complete British Encyclopedia Britannica, 1911, Noah Webster's 1913 dictionary, McGuffey Reader, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Another of our fascinating 4-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan and our guest today is Jeff Preistupa, and you know, there's so much we don't know about vaccinations, and yet we're forcing them onto our people. There is absolutely no justification for giving a hepatitis B shot to a child in the nursery unless mother has hepatitis B, and you should determine that ahead of time by testing mother. But why give this vaccine to a child? Because there's something called molecular mimicking. The gene in hepatitis B vaccine really is very, very similar to the gene in the myelin sheath in the spinal cord and of your nerves. And this is why there's so many dramatic neurological changes associated with hepatitis B shots. Now, the immunity doesn't last into adolescence. You have to have booster shots when you get to be adolescents. And the only people who get into trouble with this disease, unless mother has it, are people, you know, who are homosexuals or IV drug users or sexually promiscuous heterosexually. So why do they want to give it to our kids? Well, very simply, that way they can be as promiscuous as they want to be when they get to be adolescents. Where, after all, we're from the government, and we want to protect your children, don't we? Well, ladies and gentlemen, protect us from those people who want to protect us. And our guest is Jeff Preistupa. Jeff, how can people get copies of your book?
They can call 1-800-205-6245.
All right, that's 1-800-205-6245.
And they can get that at the American Freedom Network.
All right, fine. And so we've got it, and a lot of great information in the book, things you need to know about. So why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, Dr. Stan, we were talking about the fact that, like, along with hepatitis, and you were mentioning that we're seeing different types of bipolar presentations of various diseases. You know, there's another one. We've got Alzheimer's at one end of life, and at the other we've got autism and ADD and ADHD, and I do consider ADD and ADHD to be autism-like. I think they're the same impaired neurologic function, but to a lesser degree. And also at the other end, we have to ask ourselves, why? Why are we seeing these range of diseases? I mean, if our healthcare system has been benefiting from all these years of the advances in new technology and science, why are we seeing such a huge crop of new diseases continually, and yet we're even not eliminating the old diseases?
And, of course, one of the frightening things is any doctor who speaks out and points out the dramatic 600% incidence of autism in children in the last 20 years immediately is chastised. Dr. Wakefield in England brought this out. He was a well-trained gastroenterologist who scoped many of these children that were coming to him, because along with the autism comes an intense diarrhea in many of the children. So he colonoscoped these little tiny infants, and he found that there was an inflammation in the intestine and a severe lymphoid hypertrophy, and in those lymphoid tissues was the measles virus. And, of course, this was altering the intestinal uptake, and many of these children were absorbing toxic substances, which some people think are related to this. But because he dared to question what was being done and suggest that maybe the children should be given the measles shots separate from the rubella and mumps, why he lost his position. Any doctor who speaks out and tries to be critical of what the public health service is doing will be chastised and may very well lose his ability to make a living. What sort of science is that when you have to retaliate against those who disagree with the people in positions of power? We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, especially when they want to be able to forcibly vaccinate you and your family. And believe me, all across America, the legislation is being passed because we've got to protect you from those wicked, wicked terrorists. But who is going to protect us from the public health officers who are not telling us the truth and have gotten legislation through so you can't sue a vaccine company? And what's wrong with this scenario?
What does it say about the scientific method itself? As you know, Dr. Stan, one of the things that you and I both appreciate about science is that it is supposedly objective. And all Dr. Wakefield did was report his findings. He didn't editorialize. He said, look, this is what my research has revealed. Let's look at this further. And you're right, for him to lose his job over that, of just doing, you know, being a good ethical scientist, he just reported what he found. And he said, here in the intestines is the measles vaccine. And he knew it was the measles vaccine because of the form of it. And that's a good point. Why was that vaccine, that measles vaccine, being sequestered in the intestines? Perhaps because it was not introduced into that individual in the way that it would normally occur in nature. It wasn't the virus, as it came into the body, did not allow the lymphatic tissue, the immune tissue, to know that that virus was there. And so the body wasn't able to form the normal skin pustules and get rid of it. So without it knowing that it was there, it just took up residence in the intestines. The thinking is that it created some altered nucleoproteins that then began to short-circuit the brain chemistry, which they're thinking, he'd like to study further, leads to diseases like autism. Why is not a man like that allowed to pursue that scientific thought?
Well, of course, the thing is that who are you going to get to finance this sort of thing? The drug companies aren't going to finance something that says, you know, this doesn't do any good, and the government will not finance that sort of thing. So if you try to come up with something which is against what the public health establishment, or maybe we ought to call it the medical industrial complex, wants, which of course is really profit, why, of course, you're not going to get any grants and you're going to get into real trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, this sort of thing really goes on today. We had an opportunity of interviewing on a number of occasions a physician, a very well-known, internationally known virologist, who at one time had worked at the FDA, and he found, this was years after they found the cancer virus in the monkey tissues that were used for polio, he found other monkey viruses that produced foamy, they were cytomegalic virus, they produced the foamy cell disease in animals, and so he went to his chief there at the FDA, and he said, there's another monkey virus that you haven't picked up, it's a cytomegalic virus, and of course you're giving it when you give the polio vaccine. And his boss said, there's nothing to worry about, I can assure you there's nothing to worry about. And about 3 months later, he quit his job with the FDA, and he went to work for Wyeth, the very company that was making the monkey vaccines that were for polio that were being given to your children. Dr. James Martin was the doctor I'm speaking of, and we've interviewed him a number of occasions. This is the sort of thing that really goes on, and there's a revolving door between government and industry. I would like to think that the people who work in government are really there to protect us, but maybe they're there to protect their own retirement. Because, of course, they not only get the government retirement, then they get, of course, all sorts of perks from the medical companies. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have immoral people, why you have real problems, just look at what we've seen with Tyco and with Global Crossing and with WorldCom and all of these, Enron. You know, when you got immoral people, when you got people who have no moral foundation, can you really trust them with the power to govern you and force you to be vaccinated or force your children to be vaccinated? And that's the question that we have to ask. We need moral people. Yes, vaccines have done a great deal of good. Had they been done properly, there'd be no question. But we couldn't trust them 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We can't trust them today. In fact, we can trust them less today, because at least in that day, there were a few people who were moral. Today, who are the moral people who are really looking after the health of the people? And if there is nothing to worry about, why is it that the vaccine companies cannot be sued? Oh, they have a government program that you can sue the government. Lots of luck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Dr. Stan, I was posting on one of the autism websites, one of the bulletin boards for autism that parents and doctors are posting their findings on. And I asked for a call for research or information regarding, as you suggested in your excellent tape series on from the Radio Liberty, Vaccines, Panacea, or Plague. And I asked if anyone out there had any information on twins, whereby for one reason or another, one of the twins had received vaccines and the other hadn't. Because, you know, we're hearing that many of these kids have a genetic predisposition, that autism is really when a weakened, genome experiences the vaccine. It's not really the vaccine's part. And I just want to read you this one paragraph I got from a female medical doctor. I can't give her name. I don't have her permission. I'll quote her. She says, also, I got a phone call from a mother of about, from a mother 2 months ago who has identical twin boys, 3 years old. One got the MMR on schedule. The other didn't because he was sick at the time. Then both the mother and the physician forgot he didn't receive it. Guess which one is autistic and which one is not.
Sure.
And if we could begin to bring forth more information like that, but the research, I think, is being done. It's not being reported very well. And isn't it interesting, they'll collect $3 or $4 per shot for the Vaccine Injury Relief Fund, but they're not willing to collect any money for any objective, perhaps parent or peer-reviewed research at the same time.
Well, we've got real problems because, the doctors are caught in a trap. I mean, you know, they're told this is the way you should do it. And if you don't do it, you can get, they don't give the vaccines, why you can be sorely criticized. And certainly there's a danger if you don't get the vaccines because sometimes they do prevent disease. There's no question that they prevent disease. But at what cost? And of course, I'm not against the measles vaccination, but MMR, I think that I am totally against. I think they should give separate vaccines, and we should give just as few vaccines as possible because we overstimulate the immune system. The frightening thing is they've got 30 or 40 vaccines there ready to give to your children, and they're going to mandate those in the very, very near future. And if what Dr. Kenneth Allebeck told me, former number two man in the Soviet biological warfare unit, is true, that, you know, you take enough vaccines, you're allergic to everything, which he says he is. Do you really want your children given 50 vaccines when we see such a tremendous increase in eczema and all of these allergic reactions?
Dr. Stan, you know, there's many of us, shall we say, of the older generation who used to take the children over to Cousin David's house because he had chicken pox. And Mom would take us over there. I remember my mom took me over to my cousin's house, so I would get the measles.
And, of course, it was a good thing to get because then you got over it and you didn't have to worry about it and you had full immunity, you had normal immunity.
There's many who believe that those childhood diseases are the immune system cutting its teeth, learning how to defend itself. And when we get a disease naturally like that, we do have lifelong immunity.
Right, of course. The chicken pox is a very benign disease, as is mumps, unless, of course, you get it as an adult, as is rubella, unless you get it, when you're pregnant. But if children get these things in childhood, you don't have anything to worry about.
We learn how to defend ourselves. Whereas when it comes to smallpox, to take one of a more current question, the smallpox vaccine doesn't actually contain the true smallpox virus.
No, it has the vaccinia virus, but it does give fairly good immunity as far as smallpox. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope that many of you out there across America, if you're not already members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, will join us in this epic struggle to see if this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. And so we're trying to bring the truth and the realization you're not getting the facts from the media. The media is controlled. It has been for many years. And most of what you get is simply propaganda. And there are all sorts of articles in there that are planted by government or CIA or the FBI. All these so-called leaks, these aren't leaks. They are put out intentionally to create and change a reality. So we're going to give you the news, the truth as we see it, and we get some fascinating people with fascinating stories. But quite frankly, we need your help, your financial help. Oh, the bills are astronomical. We're now on 30 stations. We're hoping to add on to that. We're starting a new program tomorrow, which will be heard on 6 different stations. It'll be syndicated. It'll be on satellite. And we hope that many of you can get your local radio stations to pull this down. It'll be 10 o'clock Pacific every Saturday morning, and you'll be able to listen to it actually live on www.wxbh.com. That's www.wxbh.com. But please seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family, and if you can contribute in any way financially, we'll appreciate it. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, and I promise you, if you read it, you will never, never, never look at the world through the same eyes again. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we hope many of you will decide you want to subscribe to the newsletter. We hope many of you will decide you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. The number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Dr. Jeff Price-Supa. If you'd like to get a copy of his book, it's called Vaccines, and you can get it by calling 800-205-6245. What's the exact title, Jeff?
It's called Vaccines, The Right to Choose.
The Right to Choose, and we all ought to have the right to choose. Now, where do they get off telling you, you don't have any rights at all, we know what's best for you, because they've made so many mistakes before. And I would simply reiterate, you just ask your doctor, well, you've taken the vaccines out, you've been giving vaccine out of the vaccines, why did you take the mercury out of the vaccines? And they'll tell you, because it's harmful to the children's brains. And then ask him, well, then if it was harmful, why did you give it for so many years? And if it wasn't harmful, why did you take it out? I mean, how many children did you damage with the mercury? I mean, don't you think you ought to challenge what you do to people? You know, just because everybody else does it doesn't relieve the doctor and others of responsibility to try to do what's right. And certainly to go along with an establishment that's made so many mistakes through the years. And I hope you'll get a copy of our latest newsletter and give it to your doctor and ask him what he thinks, if he really trusts the public health establishment that is afraid to tell you the truth about all the terrible mistakes and the terrible things that they have done in the name, of course, of science, because they want to help you. Well, Jeff, I agree with so much of what you're saying. What we need to do is get the people concerned and say, you don't have a right to tell us what to do with our children. And you don't have a right to say, well, we want herd immunity, so we want everybody vaccinated for hepatitis B. How can you justify that? How do they justify that? You know, when this is not a threat to any child, you know, before they get to be adolescent.
Dr. Stan, that still escapes me. I can't answer the question, if vaccines do work, if vaccines do confer immunity to the individual who receives them, then what threat to that individual is the unvaccinated? That, I mean, if you're carrying a loaded .45 pistol, what threat am I as an unarmed person next to you if you've got the protection?
Right.
So if, in fact, vaccines do work and give people immunity, what threat is posed by that child who wants to go to school or attend, you know, summer camp? What threat is the unvaccinated to the vaccinated?
Well, of course, what they're going to say is, well, if enough people aren't vaccinated, then we're going to have outbreaks. But if enough people are vaccinated, we're not going to. The trouble is, we've had major outbreaks of pertussis involving a lot of kids who had actually been vaccinated. And you'll see this same thing carried out time and time and time again. And they can't quite explain these things, so they ignore them.
As well as the measles. When we see a measles breakout, just as many kids who were vaccinated come down with it as those that weren't. It doesn't seem to be that disease incidence has anything to do with the vaccination rate.
Well, the incidence of disease certainly has fallen. The trouble is the incidence of disease was falling dramatically before the vaccines were introduced. And this is one thing they just never want to mention. Now, I'm not saying that they would be as low as they are if it hadn't been for the vaccinations, but we know the incidence of measles and polio and chickenpox and all of these things was falling dramatically before the vaccines were introduced. Have you seen those figures?
Exactly. And what we're seeing with those disease incidence rates is that most of those gains in disease incidence were accomplished through the public health measures, through by the public health department, cleaning up the water, giving better sanitation to human waste. And yet, and still, in spite of that, whenever we want to bring foreign aid to a third world country, which is suffering from diseases mostly of filth, we don't bring that aid in the form of PVC piping and irrigation and sanitation. That aid always comes in the form of a vaccine.
Or a condom. Don't forget the condoms we're giving.
Well,
let me just mention to our listeners, I read every day about the AIDS epidemic because it has always been one of my passions. In Botswana today, about 35 to 40% of the adults are now HIV infected. But 50% of the pregnant women in this very, this is probably the highest level of education and of economy of any black nation, black-controlled nation in Africa. Botswana, 50% of the black women there are HIV infected. They are going to die and their children are going to die. Now, if this is the end result of a public health policy, an active public health policy that did not discourage promiscuity nor encourage identifying who had the disease. I just said, this is how we're going to handle it. We're going to give everybody condoms, tell them to be promiscuous, give them sex education. You would think that when half of your patients are going to die, you would say, maybe what we're doing is wrong. Maybe we should change our approach. Are they changing their approach? No, they're continuing exactly the same approach. Ladies and gentlemen, you couldn't do something that stupid unintentionally, and you can help the international and our own public health officers who are going along with that. I call them the public health establishment. 50% of the women are pregnant women in Botswana are infected and going to die. Do you think that's happening unintentionally? Do you think that they're so stupid they don't know they have a failed public health policy? Or is there another agenda? And if you want a documentation on that, we'll be glad to provide it for you. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask yourself, if they'll do that to the blacks in Africa, what will they do to the blacks in America? What will they do to people like you and I, who really are undesirable? Many of us are Christians. We believe there is a God, and these people don't believe there's a God. They believe they know what's best for all mankind, and that's why we're in so much trouble today. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, we have time for one or two calls. And if this sounds, too radical, ask yourself, 50% of the women, pregnant women, are infected? Jeff, do these things, I know that these things bother you. You're probably as frustrated as I am. They're trying to stand up and get people to think, and nobody wants to think. They just want to go along with the crowd, don't they?
They do, and the media doesn't help us at all. As you know, I have a study here that just came out last week, and it says, study dismisses fears of vaccine. And it wants to assure the people that don't worry about it at all. Shots given for measles, mumps, and rubella does not lead to autism. And there wasn't one shred of research behind this article. But if all someone did was read the headlines, they could go back to sleep. And people all were saying, all I've tried to do in my book, all Dr. Sandy's trying to do is say, please evaluate this for yourself. Do enough due diligence so that you feel confident that you've researched this. There are so many people coming forth right now, good men and women from all walks of science, saying this needs to be questioned.
Yeah,
that's all we're saying.
And this article I mentioned earlier on the relationship between hepatitis B and multiple sclerosis, and they said there is probably, not there is no relationship, there is probably no relationship, and we're going to keep watching it. Well, why aren't they certain that it's safe before they're giving it to your children and to people all across America? I mean, why don't they demand that they be, proven safe first before they're giving it? And, of course, they never do that. They just want to rush right into production because at $85 a shot when they can give it in China for $1 a shot, somebody's making an awful lot of money. And, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to appear crass and indifferent, but there are people who have no moral compass. We have the same sort of people working in our vaccine industry today that work in Enron and Tyco and Global Crossing and WorldCom. And I think that you should be very, very concerned about it. Well, Jeff, we're just about out of time. I'm going to give you the last couple of minutes here and just share your heart with our listeners.
Well, Dr. Stan, what I've tried to do in this book, Vaccines, the Right to Choose, is I let the researchers tell the story in their own words. This is more of a compilation of research citations that's available out there. I try to put it all together to cover as many aspects of the vaccine question as possible to give people resources where they can go digging for more information according to what their particular needs are. I'm not trying to, editorialize at all. I'm just trying to present the facts that have come forth through the research and through the literature. So I think that for those people who want to make a decision on what they're going to do for their families, they're going to have to defend that decision. And what I try to put together in Vaccines, the Right to Choose, is just that information to say, well, read this. What do you think of this article? What do you think of this study? What do you think of this citation? Rather than try to convince anyone of anything, I've just put the information there, as you always do, to give the people the information. You know, if you teach them, they can do the math themselves if you give them the facts.
Well, I think it's so vitally important, and I want to thank you so very much for writing the book, because I think we have to have something. This is easy to read, and yet the information is there. Then check the documentation. You can go to a local medical library and get a lot of these articles out, and then challenge people about it. Remember, if something happens to your child, who are you going to blame for the rest of your life, and who are they going to blame for the rest of their life? And I've heard this story again and again and again. My child was perfectly normal until the day after they took their MMR vaccine. Or this one, they took given six vaccines in one day, an MMR and a hepatitis B and a Haemophilus a shot and maybe another shot, and they get six different vaccines in one day. And then we wonder why these kids have trouble with their immune systems.
Yes. And Dr. Stan, we also talked about that in that vaccine is not just the one foreign protein that the shot's named after. You've got a lot of other foreign things there that could be contaminants, other things that were grown on those cells that are not in the advertised label of that vaccine.
And I think that's what people have to ask. Well, God bless you. Thank you for so
Thank
much
you,
what you've done.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
I hope we can get you back on in one of our other programs in the near future.
I'd love to.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Jeff Price Super, and I hope you enjoyed the program. And people don't like to hear bad news, but I'll tell you what. You have to be responsible. And I'm not saying that, all vaccines are bad. I think that they've done wonderful things. But there is a side to this story you have never heard. And if you would like a copy of my latest newsletter, why, I invite you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't had a free newsletter before, we'll be glad to send you one. I promise you, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. And I want you to copy this newsletter and get it to your doctor and get it to everyone you know, and because they want to force you to be vaccinated, you and your whole family. And, of course, can you really trust them? Well, I can't. And I don't think you should either. I think we have to have the facts. I think you have a right to say no or yes. And you have to understand there truly are wicked people in the world. So, well, Monday we'll be back with you. In the meantime, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, for our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.